welcome to Talk Anime to Me, The Roundup. My name is Sebastian Sanchez. Before we begin, I want to remind everybody, if you're an anchor, you can send us a voice message, voicing your opinion of the episode. If you're not an anchor, that is totally okay. We're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Rate, like, subscribe, comment, share. It all helps. Today we'll be talking about My Hero Academia Episode 53. FLCL Progressive Episode 3 and Steins Gate Zero Episode 3. There will of course be spoilers. In My Hero Academia Episode 53, we begin where we left off. Midoriya, or as I like to call him, Deku, leaps to the air without hesitation and kicks a rock that was about to fall on All Might. On the background, you can hear all the other students going, "Oh my god, what? That was so awesome." While everyone is stunned by this feat of awesomeness, Eijiro and Denki approach Deku and ask him what was that. Deku then explains that, since he cannot use his hands, he is now going to use his legs. This of course changes Deku's fighting style fundamentally. While I still don't like the decision to change his fighting style, especially since his fights have been extremely cool up to this point, it is a great way to nerf Deku. I tend to forget, but Deku has the strongest power we have seen in the series, with the exception of All for One. Plus, his intellect and the ability to make quick decisions under pressure make him by far the strongest character of the A1 class. So the decision to make him learn how to control his enormous power little by little is a great decision, and it is that decision that I believe makes My Hero Academia so interesting. It is a dichotomy of having the greatest power but not being able to use it that creates so much tension in the show, and is incredibly rewarding when he finally uses it. Since the end of the One For All fight, My Hero Academia has been on a new arc, and while there has been a lot of changes with the dorm room implementation, All Might losing his powers, and the heroes developing ultimate attacks, I think it is this episode that finally marks the official start of the arc. I am of course talking about the Provisional Hero License arc. The A1 class arrives to the exam on a bus and are arriving when everybody else is arriving. This leads to the meeting of a few interesting characters who are going to be, without a doubt, big players in this arc. The first is Inasa and his class from the famous Chiketsu High School. Just as Bakugo says, UA in the West, Chiketsu in the East. We meet Inasa when he crashes the plus ultra chant from the A1 class. He is extremely excited, and after being reprimanded for crashing their chant, he gets into an incredibly rigid and excited sari pose that actually hits the floor with incredible force. While this is for sure strange, the most interesting part comes from Aizawa's response and advice. He is a big deal. Be careful. The other student is named Yo, who pretends to be nice to the A1 class, but Bakugo does not buy it. And when the camera zooms on Yo's expression, we can tell he is being extremely insincere. This moment has me excited about a fight between him and Bakugo. When Yo leaves, Aizawa says, "Wait, if he's here, then that means..." And in comes Miss Joke. Right off the bat, she tells Aizawa to marry her, which he simply responds with a cold, "No." And then she starts laughing. Not soon after, Midoriya recognizes her, and we get a cool rundown of her powers and fighting styles. Which is of course making her enemies laugh so much they lose control of their bodies, which she takes advantage of to fight criminals. One of the things I admire about My Hero Academia is how varied the powers are. From being frog-like, to shooting tape, to being funny, stand-up comedians could be superheroes in this universe. An interesting line of dialogue before the exam starts comes from Miss Joke. She says to Aizawa, "Can it be possible you have not told them?" While I had no idea what she could be referring to, she later reveals that all exams are different. But one thing that is like a tradition is the mass elimination of UA at the beginning. This is possible since all the schools have seen them fight at the sports festival, and by now they know their weakness. And without a doubt, as soon as the exam starts, all the students start attacking UA. Since Midoriya figured this would happen, all the A1 class stayed close together, with the exception of Bakugo, Eijiro who ran after him, and Todoroki who said it is too difficult for him to use his powers in big groups. When all the students repel the balls away from their opponents, Midoriya with his full cowling, Ochako by levitating away, Mineta by a whip that he made, and lastly Mina by melting the balls with her acid, After all the students have repelled the walls, Yo says something in the vein of, "Prepare to lose." The camera changes to the A1 class doing their best ready to fight pose, and the episode ends. Now moving on to FLCL Progressive Episode 3. What can I say about this show? It is hectic, fast, varied, funny, serious, scary, and plain crazy. We start the episode with yet another dream. It seems like it is going to be a staple of the show since they have started the same way 3 episodes in a row. Every anime, especially wrong warning ones, have a beach episode. And this is our beach episode done in the FLCL style, and it is crazy. The characters are excited to be on the beach, and we have all of our main characters here as well. One of the funniest scenes, and one that I don't even know why I was surprised the show would go all the way, was Haruko covering Julia in sand, something that is very playful and fun. I'm talking from experience here. But since this is FLCL, Haruko quickly starts to mix cement and covers Julia in said cement. Now, while other shows would mention it, this show does not. While other shows would have the main character break out of the cement in their time of need, this show does not. This moment happens in the beginning of the episode, and by the end, she is still there encapsulated and trapped. Another funny moment comes from Goro hiring an actress to pretend to be his girlfriend just to impress his friends. Not only was the girlfriend hilarious saying, "How embarrassing," every time she talked, the way the voice actress changed her voice as soon as her job was done, and in fact her whole demeanor, was hilarious. Then when the friend found out, and not just the audience, it was the icing on the cake. We get yet another fight, now more emotional, and at the same time more confusing. Haruko kidnaps Hidomi and tries to get her, as she puts it, to overflow. When she tries to hit her, Ide comes in and tries to save her, and now another monster comes out of his forehead. This is what starts the fight scene. At some point, Hidomi does get to overflow, and a sort of black hole forms, and a huge metal block forms as well. When this happens, Julia, still in cement form, gives Ide a "be a hero" speech and hands him a guitar. He gets all pumped and goes to save Hidomi. Ide saves Hidomi, and it seems like all is going well. But then he gets to take out her headphones. At this point, we see an x-ray vision, and we see the headphones drilling into her skull as a sort of failsafe. Again, this is all very strange, and I still don't know what it means, but this is a half-season point, so I hope we get some answers soon. This concludes FLCL Progressive. One thing before we move on is the fights and animations are both superb here. In every episode, there is a fight scene, and so far all of them have been funny, cool, and exhilarating. I also appreciate Julia as a whole, and especially her glasses that come straight from the 90s. Now to my second favorite anime right now, but close first, Steins Gate Zero. Again, this anime is incredibly sad, so get your t-shirts ready, we are about to cry. I am a very big fan of the original Steins Gate, and this sequel series has not disappointed. This episode brought a very big tonal shift from 2 weeks ago. It was more playful and fun. The crew is celebrating Christmas in a big get-together, which apparently to this episode is sort of like Valentine's Day. Who knew? This whole episode is devoted to this party. Getting ready, celebrating it, convincing characters to go to the party. It was thanks to this format that for the first time, I smiled for more than 2 seconds in this show. It was very nice. Okabe, who is talking more and more to Kurisu and getting more and more familiar with her, complains that filming all the time might seem rude, so she suggests to be put on his jacket pocket. This reminded me a whole lot like the movie Her. While they were walking, she asks, "What is that radio tower?" He doesn't answer, covers the camera, and actually turns back. While at first I did not understand this moment, I soon realized that that's where she was murdered. A very dark moment in a light episode. Mako is getting pressure more and more to date Okabe, or at least ask him in a date, and so she ends up going to the Christmas party along with Professor Alexis. It is when they arrive that the funniest part of the show happens. The doctor mentions that Okabe is a lucky guy since he is surrounded by friends and beautiful women. Then he says, "Especially her." Then Okabe responds with, "She's actually a guy," which they stare at each other awkwardly, and we hear the microwave go off. Again, I was smiling on this episode, and at this point I was laughing, but I knew this happiness could not last too long, and it didn't. Okabe separates from the party and goes upstairs to the rooftop to talk to AI Kurisu. They are laughing and getting emotionally intimate when Majo intervenes and shuts her off. She then says, "I told you, she is not the real deal. She is 100% Amadeus." By this point, both the audience and Okabe had forgotten about this, at least even for an instant. But with this, we were back to reality. "Kirusu died," Majo says, and Okabe starts to freak out. He freaks out so much, he actually starts seeing either visions or flashbacks. I do not know. He starts screaming, and Majo freaks out and actually asks him if he's okay. Then the episode ends. Again, Steins Gate is without a doubt a very dark anime. And while it is super intense to watch, I still love it, and I'm so glad it is back. Well, this has been Talk Anime to Me, the Roundup. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Please like, share, subscribe, and I will see you guys on the next episode. Bye-bye.